That's a new thing.
Oh, wow.
Okay, now everybody be quiet for a minute. All right, we did it. Okay. All right. So welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're all here because in some way or another, we are ourselves living with anxiety, or we are living with people who really do. The word is suffer from anxiety. And we're looking for a way out. And as you know, I have been living in the midst of anxiety for, you know, quite a few weeks now. And I am more and more and more convinced that there is a way out. These things work. These techniques work. And I am so not just grateful, but literally just honored and humbled to be able to offer this class for all of you. Because I don't think there's anything quite like what we're going to do out there. Because there is a medical component, right? And several of you are on medication for anxiety, right? That's a real thing. And there are medical parts. There's a physiological thing that is going on in our brain. And that science-based physiological realm we're going to talk about. We're also going to go from really just what mindfulness, and I mean just mindfulness. You've all probably either taken or heard of mindfulness-based stress reduction, right? Because there is so much that mindfulness can bring to us to help us regulate that anxiety response, that physiological response, and bring ourselves into the present moment. Because as you may have experienced, you cannot be anxious if you are completely present. I'm going to say that again. It is impossible to be anxious if you are 100% present in the present moment. Okay? And hopefully at some point in your journey, you will have that moment of, oh my gosh, I was completely, totally present, and it's true. And my goal isn't for you to just hear these things from me and go, oh, if I'm totally present, then I won't be anxious. But to actually have that experience, because if it's just intellectual knowledge, this will be just another class that you've taken, another book that you've read to try and help you. It's in the application, it's in the doing of this that the insights come and the recognition comes that, oh my gosh, I have the power to make these choices. I have the power within my own being to not feel anxious. It's not something I'm going to give you. It's not something anybody else is going to give you. You have the power with your mind. So we have the medical side that says you can take this medication. It will ease your anxiety, right? And then we have the mindfulness, which is let's just become totally present right here in this moment. And if you're totally present in this moment, you won't suffer. You won't feel anxious. And then there's the meditation side, which is where all the teachings for how do you have a lifestyle that doesn't bring anxiety? How do you deal with everything that's going on in your life, in your world? How? And that's what the meditation brings us. That's what the meditation. So we're putting all three together. We're putting all three together. And you get to choose from these what speaks to you the most. What is it that gets in there and gives you that, oh, I get it. I get it. I did it. And that's what we're looking for. So the way the course is going to be structured is that excuse me just a minute. I just want to mute everybody. Mute everybody. The way the course is going to be structured is we're going to have these Saturday mornings. And I have to tell you, if there's anything that makes me anxious, it's trying to cram a lifetime's worth of knowing into 5 90-minute teaching sessions. It's like, okay, but I just take a deep breath and I go, okay, we're going to do this. And I have a plan and we're going to kind of introduce the topic today. And then we're going to talk about it, anxiety from all three aspects, kind of the overview today. Hopefully inspire you a little bit, give you something to take away with you. And then the next Saturday, we're going to really work with thoughts. The Saturday after that, we're going to work with emotions. The Saturday after that, we're going to really work with what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? And as my daughter has been so good at honing my brain, it's like, Mom, what are the steps? I want the steps. I want the steps. And don't worry, we're not going to wait till that class to give you the steps, just so you know, you don't have to wait till class 4 to get the steps. But we're going to really dive into what do you do? And then in the last class, it's about how do you live? What is the path? What are the principles that you need to live by? What are the shifts in your thinking, in your beliefs, in your perceptions that you get to make now? So that you are free from anxiety. Okay. So that's what the Saturdays are about. And then the Mondays, we're doing the whole different route. The Mondays are the actual practice of techniques. And we're doing everything from meditations, obviously, pranayamas, mindfulness, but also some techniques that come out of more of the Reiki, acupressure, brain gym. Some of you even learned about that. So we've got a beautiful range of techniques you're going to learn, and we're going to do them on Monday nights. And there's exercises we're going to do to help train your brain, train your being to think differently, to approach things differently. Because what I've learned is that if I just tell you, this work's going to stop. But if you actually practice the exercises, practice doing them, you're going to go, oh, I see. That's how I do it. So Mondays are practice. Mondays are practice, and they're just as important as the Saturdays. And as we told you, everything's recorded. So if you can't make it, you have the recording. And so that's kind of the structure of how we're going to do this. And what I'd like to do now is open us with a blessing that we're going to use over this course. It's one we haven't done before, those of you who've been my students for a long time. And so let me see if I can share my screen and show it to you. Can I find it? Here it is. Did it share? Can you see it? It says, blessing for all beings. And the words you've heard before were, but this is there's a melody we're going to add to it this time. It's more of a chant. And as we go through the class, you're going to understand the power and the deep, deep wisdom within this. But the blessing simply is, may all beings always have happiness and its causes. May all beings, supposed to be an S on there, I'll correct it. Be free of pain and its causes. May all beings always be pain-free and live happily. And may all beings never cling to those near nor spurn those far. So let's take our seats. Let's find a seat. And I'm going to introduce you to the melody as we kind of center ourselves and kind of officially begin our class today. And I just want to say welcome to everybody who's joined us in the last few minutes. It's so beautiful to see everyone here. And so find your seat, which basically means feel the connection of your bottom to whatever you're sitting on. and notice the sensation. Notice the pressure of your sit bones, your pelvic bones pressing into your skin, which is pressing against the chair or the floor or the cushion. And see if you can just take a nice deep breath. And as you exhale, soften your face, your shoulders, your arms, your hands. And just continue at your own pace. Don't try and keep up with me, but just inhale deep into the belly. Feel it expanding into the chest, lifting up to the tops of the lungs. And this time as you exhale, soften your face, your shoulders, your chest, your stomach, and see if you can soften, just soften into your seat. And for this moment right now, hold that thought. I'm supported. I am supported. The chair, the floor are holding me, supporting me. Have the thought right here, right now. I am in my home or somewhere. I have walls to keep me safe from the rain and the wind and the heat. I have a roof over my head, providing me shade and shelter. There are no tigers at my door. Right here, right now, I have food in the fridge. I have the luxury of having a computer. I can participate in this class right now, right here. My body is safe. I am safe. And can you breathe into that? And as you exhale, can you just soften the body, the face, the shoulders, the torso? And even though there may be some of that buzzing inside, a little nervousness, a little buzzing, let's just use that word, whatever it might be going on in the body, that's what's going on in the body, but you are physically safe. Okay? And into this place of safety, can you bring into your mind the thought of someone who makes your heart smile? And just think of that person. And with each inhale, just let that feeling of the heart smiling become the dominant feeling in your chest. If there are other sensations there, that's okay. That's okay. They can be there. But we can also hold the feeling of the heart smiling with great affection for this person. And then choosing to hold the feeling that is in the center of your being, the feeling of your heart smiling. Hold that feeling as I open with our invocation for this series. May all beings always have happiness and its causes. May all beings always be free of pain and its causes. May all beings always be pain-free and live happily. May all beings never cling to those near nor spurn those far. And then bring into your heart, just allow yourself to admit and say within your own being what you are seeking through this class. What is it that you are looking for? What is it you are longing for? What is it you are hoping to find? and let the feeling of that, whatever amount of that that you can find, let that come into the heart. Breathe into it. And as you exhale, can you soften your body and maybe just trust that you will receive it. You will find it. You will. What I'd like you to do now is to just very gently, just mindfully, no rushing, just move very consciously and you know, mindfully is a good word, but it means kind of slowly paying attention to what you're doing. Pick up the paper you brought to write on or your journal. Pick up the pen, feeling it in your fingers, and write down for you and for you alone, what is it you are longing for? What is it you are seeking? What is it you are hoping to find? Whichever one of those questions prompts the answer. Okay. Well, I have to say it is absolutely lovely. Some of you thought you weren't good. I thought some of you were going to be at the beach, and here you are. Jenny, I see you. It's so lovely. You made it.
I am leaving early, though, in like 10 minutes. So.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, you got the start. But that's lovely.
I couldn't miss the beginning of it. So
I'm so glad you were here. Lovely. Okay. So, and I just want to, I'm not going to say everybody's name, but just know that I do see you on my screen, and it's just beautiful to see all of you here, and welcome, welcome, welcome. This course has the power to change the trajectory of your life. Everything you need to live without anxiety is here. I have been working on this course for months. And as the gods would have it, the gods love you so much, all of you so much, that they said, Karen, you don't quite got it. You need to really get a grip on what this is and discover what works. So your daughter has volunteered to have the most incredible panic attacks of her life, just so that you can work with her, help her, and really hone it in and get crystal clear. What does she need? What helps? What doesn't help? Because nobody is going to be more honest with you than your daughter, who will look at you and say, that didn't help, Mom. Or, okay, finally, that one worked. You know, Mom, I don't get it. What are the steps? Oh, You missed that one last time, you know, and so you have all been the beneficiary of my daughter, Natalie, who's with us. And she is the reason we're having this class, because she called, as most of you who get the newsletter know, she called and said, Mom, I need something. None of this is working. I said, okay, great. This was months ago. And we kept putting off the date to start it. And in the meantime, that's when the God said, Karen, you need a little more. And so for the last 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks or so, we've been pulling her out little by little, and it's making a difference. It's making a difference. And she's made me a better teacher for all of you. So thanks, Nat. You didn't know it, huh? But you were doing it for everybody. So let's start here. This is what I want to start with. I want to start with two things. One is, this is what the medical profession will tell you, or a therapist will tell you. And write this down, because I didn't put this on a handout. Write this one down, because you already know this, but there's three things you want to know, according to the medical profession. Anxiety is a fear response. Okay? It's a fear response. So you don't have to look, you don't have to, what is it? Bottom line, underneath everything you think is causing the anxiety, underneath it all, there is a fear of something. Okay? And we don't need to go there yet. For this first few weeks, we're going to figure out how to regulate, help you regulate, soften your body, work with the hemispheres of your brain to bring you into balance. Okay. But we are going to go there. And this is the important thing to know when we go into fear, is you only have to go at the pace you can handle. You don't ever have to go any faster or further than you feel comfortable. Okay. So let's take that anxiety off the table, but I'm going to show you how. I'm going to show you the steps to discover what is the underlying fear. And by the time we get there, you will be able to look at it. You will be able to look at it without it doing all the things you're terrified it's going to do to you. Okay. So let's little comfort, little reassurance there. Okay. So number one, anxiety is a fear response. Number two, in the medical world, they say it's because there is an imbalance in the hemispheres of your brain, an imbalance between the left and the right hemispheres. And so what we're going to learn to do is to use techniques to balance the left and the right. And they work. Okay. And for those of you, some of you are here for yourself. And as we mentioned, some of you are here because you're living with someone who is literally suffering from severe anxiety. And you will learn how to speak, how to guide them to between the two hemispheres of the brain. They won't even know what you're doing. But as you do it, as you learn to do it for yourself, you will learn to do it for them. And we can calm that anxiety, that response. Okay. So one, anxiety is a fear response. Two, it's because of an imbalance in the hemispheres in the brain. And number three, it is controllable. It is controllable. So this is medical. It is controllable. Boom. Which is not why we're having this course. Now I'm going to teach you what they teach, so, you know, as what I can of what they teach, to control it. But my daughter was really clear. She didn't want to control it. She just said, I want it gone, Mom. As if you read the newsletter, she literally did say, I will sell my liver if I would know that I would never have to suffer from this again. And so this is where we want to leave the medical world, because they say it's controllable. Okay. And this is where we're going to step now into the mindfulness world, which is, what did I say? Do you remember? If you are completely 100% present in the moment, it is impossible to feel anxious. You cannot be anxious and be present at the same time. Because if you are completely present in the moment, okay, whoa, take it back. Take it back. If there is a tiger walking towards you going, rawr, yes, you will be anxious, because every part of your survival mechanism is going to click into place, and it is going to do what it's intended to do, which is to get you the fuck out of there, right? Just get you out and save your life. It is going to help you survive. So, but what's going to happen when you become mindful is that that you know what it is. It's not a blind terror. It's a heightened response so that you think clearly, so that your body can move quickly, and no physical, biological processes are engaged in anything other than helping you survive, which means run fast, breathe fast so you get oxygen, heart pump fast so you get the blood flow that you need, and clear thinking out of there we go. That's what that survival response is meant for, okay? So, mindful of the presence. Unless the present means there's a tiger, there's no anxiety. Because our anxiety, and I'm teaching it because I believe it, because I know it, because I found it to be true, is caused by our thoughts. Our anxiety in our 21st century is caused by the power of these thoughts that have us responding physically to a thought the same way we would respond to a physical threat. That's how powerful our thoughts are. And here's the really good news. There's actually good news in this. Your thoughts are so powerful, right? They can create that response in your body. Your thoughts are that powerful to change the response in your body. You change your thoughts, you will change your mind. You will change your brain. And one of the successful analogies, I've tried out a lot of analogies and metaphors on Natalie, let me tell you. And this one worked. It's like, if you want to, say, clear out an old pattern, say your desk is cluttered, right? Your desk is full of all kinds of stuff. And you want to clear it off and reorganize your desk. You use your hands to move the tape there, to move the stapler there, to move the papers here, to move the light there, to dust it off, and to rearrange. Your hands do all that work for you, and you can rearrange your desk, right? Your thoughts are your hands for reprogramming your brain. You don't have hands in there. You have thoughts. Your thoughts are what are going to reprogram those pathways in your brain, those habits of thought that are creating the anxiety. Your thoughts are what are going to discover where the fears are and change that belief, change that perception, and replace it with accurate perceptions. Thought. That's how powerful your thoughts are. Okay? And then we're going to go to the meditation side. So this is all the mindfulness stuff. Then we have the meditation side. And the meditation side, I'm going to first tell you a little story. Because we're going to use some of the teachings of the Buddha, even though the Buddha didn't invent meditation. But he brought it down to some four real simple thoughts for us to use. And so I want to just share with you how he got there. So the Buddha, as you may or may not know, was actually a real person. He actually lived. And he was a prince in a wealthy family. And his father didn't want him to have to suffer. He wanted him to have a life of ease and pleasure and not suffer. So his father arranged it so that the Buddha lived within his community and all unpleasantness was never ever shown to him. He didn't ever see sick people. He never saw conflict and pain and things like that. So the Buddha grows up in this and he gets married and he has some kids. And one day, you know, he's living this idyllic life. very sheltered. And one day he's like, you know, I'm just going to go for a ride in my chariot. I want to go out and see what's going on outside the walls of this great, beautiful place where I live. And so we went out, and in the past, everybody known that they needed to hide. They couldn't show sick people or anything like that in front of the Buddha. Well, this time he's out in the chariot and he's going through the village, and he went further than he normally went. And he looks down this street, and all of a sudden he sees somebody who's in a lot of pain. And he says to the driver, he says, "Whoa, what is going on with that person?" And the charioteer goes, "Well, he's sick." And Buddha goes, "Sick?" And he had never seen somebody suffering with sickness. And his heart was, whew, it was hurt. And driving a little further on, and he saw somebody who was with gray hair and bent over and old and moving with a lot of pain. And the Buddha says to the charioteer, "What is that?" The charioteer goes, "Oh, that is called old age. Old age." And the Buddha was like, "You mean we get old?" Now, obviously, it's a bit of a metaphorical story. Keep on riding along. The Buddha sees somebody laid out on the pyre, ready to be burnt, a body. And he's like, "Whoa, what is that?" The charioteer goes, "Oh, sir, that is death. That is death. That is a dead body." And the Buddha was like, and he was thrown. He was totally thrown. All of a sudden, he had encountered suffering. He had never seen sickness. He had never seen old age. He had never seen death and the suffering of the people mourning the death. And he went home, and his world was shattered. His reality was shattered. And he resolved at that moment, he wanted to find out what was going on and how he could ease that kind of suffering. What could take that away? And so he left his family. He left his dad. He left his home. He left everything he knew. Which is what we're going to ask you to do. We're going to ask you to let go of everything you think you know about how the world should be. Because it's what you think the world should be is where the suffering is, right? And he went out and he tried everything. And there's stories and stories about the years he spent trying all sorts of different paths, fasting, not eating, living with nothing, being a wandering monk. He tried all the different lifestyles, following the people who said they knew, the wise monks and teachers of the day, but it wasn't working. And finally, one day, in utter act of desperation, he sat beneath a tree, which they called the Bodhi tree. Bodhi means enlightened. And he sat beneath this tree and he said, "I am not moving until I figure this out. What is going on here? And how do we stop this? This is not acceptable." And he sat there and he sat there, and the stories of what he went through that night are beautiful. We're not going to get into them today, but I'll bring up little pieces of it over the next few weeks, the next few months. And all of a sudden, though, he got it. He got it. He got it. And he sat for 40, and it was called enlightenment. He saw what was going on. And he sat there for 40 days, 40 nights. Sound familiar? Anytime you hear 40, it's a symbolic number. Jesus went out for 40 days, right? 40 is a symbolic number. And eventually, some of his old friends came near, and they asked him. They asked him, "What? What have you discovered? You look so peaceful. You seem so happy and content. What have you learned?" And the Buddha gave his first teaching. And his first teaching was on what we call the Four Noble Truths. the Four Noble Truths. And this is where we're going to go. Now I've got a little handout. I'm going to let you read it while I talk because I know. Here it is. Let's get this one up. Can you guys see that? Four Noble Truths. Sometimes it doesn't work. Is it working today? Okay. Four Noble Truths. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you the Four Noble Truths and I'm going to give you the analogy they always use is you got to think of this as like a doctor, right? If you go to the doctor and you say, oh, doctor, I don't feel good. I don't feel good. The doctor asks you questions and presses and to find out what's wrong. Oh, okay. The pain is right here. The doctor checks it, goes, oh, aha, you have kidney stones. It's a diagnosis. And then the doctor says, so if you have kidney stones, you need to do this. This is the medicine for you to take here. And prescribes you the medicine. And then you go home and you follow the treatment and no more kidney stones. Right? So the Four Noble Truths are, we have to identify what's wrong. What's wrong? All existence. Sometimes people will use the word life, is dukkha. Now you want to learn this word, dukkha. D-U-K-K-H-A. Those of you who've done this before, you heard it called suffering. Suffering is a really, really, really big word. And it's a limiting word. The actual meaning of dukkha means unsatisfactory, discontent. It's like all of this, everything around, and if you're engaged in this, you're going to experience unsatisfactoriness. Okay? And you all know that because you're here, right? There's something extremely unsatisfactory going on in our lives, right? And he said, but there's a cause. The second noble truth is there is a cause to this suffering, this unsatisfactoriness. There is a cause for dukkha. And the cause for dukkha, and this is a technical term we're going to define over the weeks ahead, is craving. Craving. Okay. So just put that in. You got two technical terms now. Dukkha, unsatisfactoriness. Craving. Craving. For those of you who've been studying with me for a while, craving is attachment. Okay. And we'll get into this over in more detail. But what we say is that all suffering can be brought down simply to, we are either attached to something or resisting something. Attachment or resistance. Okay. And then, you know, prescribe the medicine. Well, the medicine is to eliminate craving. Eliminate craving. To which you go, okay, great. You look at this piece of paper, eliminate craving. But then the next one is how. And so the Buddha number four is there's a path out. There is a path out. There is a way out. And this is why I can say you can learn to live without anxiety. Now, did everybody get this down here? You have this handout. It's on your course page. You will find it there. So this is good news, folks. Your thoughts, your attachment and your resistance are the cause, and your thoughts releasing attachment and resistance are the solution. You have the power to live without anxiety. If you change your thoughts, you will change your world. Change your thoughts, you will change your world. Change your thoughts, you will change your world. Now, you may not want to change your thoughts. That's okay. It's called attachment, right? And you don't have to change them right away. But eventually, at some point, as you get good at this, as you really grasp what's going on here, you will be able in any given moment or situation to have the discernment to look and say, oh, I'm attached to this. You know, those words like shoulds, needs, have to. I'm attached to this. And you're going to be able to look at it and go, is this a true thing? Is it worth this should? Should everybody get up in the morning and make their bed? Should you really? Is it really worth fighting over your partner or your kid? Really? Right? You're going to have that. Now, making the bed, that's pretty simple, but should you do something because it will hurt someone's feelings if you don't? Okay, now we're walking into territory that breeds anxiety. These are thought patterns that we're going to be looking at. Not yet. Once you have a little more skills, we call them equanimity, right? To question those things. So. Facebook wouldn't let us even post our post, live without anxiety, because we were making a claim that is not, can't be substantiated, right? And in the medical world, they're going to tell you, you can control your anxiety, and they will give you medication, and they will, and you will, you get these, there's cognitive behavioral therapy that comes right out of the meditation world, and you will be able to control your anxiety. Absolutely. Add in the meditation side, the teachings of the Four Noble Truths and the other teachings that we get from meditation. And I'm going to sit here and say, you do that and you will be able to live without anxiety. I'm sitting here. I don't have anxiety. I was a little anxious about, you know, how am I going to fit all of this information in this short period of time? But it really wasn't anxious, was it? It just meant so much to me. My heart so truly and dearly wants to help relieve your suffering. I'm tearing up. That it's important to me. It wasn't anxiety. It was important to me. And it mattered. It meant a lot. And what I'd like to do now is I'm going to take us a little break. I want to just give us a few minutes to just take a break, stand up. And then when we come back, I want us to talk about this word anxiety. Because, you know, it's become a catch-all, hasn't it? It's a catch-all phrase. Some of you are my age, and we didn't use the word anxiety in our day. There was no word. This anxiety thing, we're all kind of sitting here going, anxiety? What's anxiety? What's anxiety? We had a vocabulary that covered a wide range of other experiences we were having that have all gotten lumped into anxiety, which on one level is fine. But on another level, it deprives us of learning the tools to recognize, oh, this matters to me. I want to do well. That's a very different tone than I'm anxious. And I can work with, this is important to me. I want to do well. And I can go into meditation before we start and ask for help. You know, please, please help me, help me, help me to say the right things. And to share the right things. Do you see the difference? If I'm anxious because I'm concerned about what somebody's going to think of me. In the past, we would have said, I care what other people think about me. I'm nervous about that. Now it's anxiety. We'd get it lumped into anxiety. And how do we tease it apart to deal with? I care what other people think of me. I was raised to care what other people think about me, right? That was a virtue. It's become an impediment. But when we lump everything into anxiety, we deprive ourselves of the way to tease it apart, to tease it apart, to tease it apart. Are you following me? Am I making any sense at all? Yeah. So let's take a short break. I mean, literally, like, enough to go stand up, grab a cup of coffee, drink of water, pee. And let's come back. So let's say it's 45 my time. Why don't we come back at 10 to the hour? Sound good? Okay. I love that bell. Come on back, everybody. Is that Sam, Chris? Hi, Sam.
He's not feeling so good, and he said he wanted to follow me.
Oh, yeah, I understand. Yeah, just go ahead and take a seat. Just cuddle up with Mom. Absolutely. Yeah. So, how are we doing? Are we overloaded? Can we go for another 40 minutes? Can we do another 40 minutes? Okay. So before we do our 40 minutes, I'm going to remind you of this really basic truth, which is that it's an unpleasant one. It's an unpleasant one. And so actually you're going to want to write this down. There are three really important things, three other words that are going to become very much a part of our 8-week series here. Unpleasant, pleasant, and neutral. And we're going to start learning to really just kind of bring things into unpleasant, pleasant, neutral. And what I'm about to tell you is unpleasant. Sorry. It's an unpleasant truth. And it goes like this. Any anxiety or stress you are experiencing is inside you. It's nobody's fault. Nobody's to blame. It's inside you. And there is a beautiful story by Portia Nelson called Autobiography in 5 Chapters. I'm sure some of you have heard of it. We've used it before. Let me see if I can find it here. Would you like me to put it up on the screen while I tell it to you? How many of you are, hold on, I'm not seeing you. How many of you are visual learners and like to read? Okay, Sam, yes. Okay, I'm going to share the screen so you can see it. And I'll tell you the story because this is kind of what's going on here. This autobiography in 5 chapters. Chapter 1, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am helpless. And it isn't my fault. And it takes me forever to find a way out. Chapter 2, I walk down the same street. And there's a deep hole in the sidewalk. And I pretend I don't see it. And I fall in again. And I cannot believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. And it still takes me a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it's there, but I still fall in because it's a habit. But this time my eyes are open. I know where I am and I see. And I know that it is my fault. And I get out immediately. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. And I walk around it. And this is where we're going, guys. We're going to chapter 5. I walk down another street. This class is about you learning about that other street. And choosing to just walk down another street altogether. But part of it is 2 chapters. It's everybody else's fault. It wasn't until 3rd chapter we started to get it's my fault. And this is what I want us to just kind of start to make peace with, this unpleasant truth that anything you're experiencing is because it's in you. And we know this is true. Because 2 people can experience the same exact thing and have an exact opposite reaction, right? And so the other story before I send you off into your breakout groups with a little assignment is this. It's a story from my guru, Goswami Kriyananda. It's a true story. And it's called simply, 2 dogs walk into a room. 2 dogs walk into a room. So he's in his living room in Chicago. This is back in the 20s when there's no air conditioning, no nothing. They just open doors to keep the house cool. And he's playing in there with his little brother. And a dog walks in. his little brother screams in terror and runs and into the hall closet and closes the door and hides in the closet. Kriyananda goes up to the dog and pets it and holds it and looks into its eyes and sees wells of deep wells of beauty and pets the dog. And he'd always say to us, how many dogs walked into the room? And there were three dogs that walked into the room. There's the dog that his brother saw that terrified him and he jumped in the closet. There's the dog Kriyananda saw that was a thing of beauty. And there was the dog itself. And we are looking for the reality itself, not a perception, the reality. And that's what the meditation side brings us. The mindfulness prepares us, gives us the tools. The meditation side gives us that. So I want you to know this is possible. It is possible. You have the power. Your mind is the tool. Your thoughts are the tool to live without anxiety. And that's what we're going to be doing. So with that, I think what I'd love to do is to break you up into groups of four and take a moment to just introduce yourself. Some of you already know each other but some of you don't. And so please introduce yourself. And if you feel comfortable sharing what that one thing is that you're came for, that you're longing for, maybe this is a different question, but I guess in my mind, it's the word that would, what it means to live a life free from anxiety. What does that mean, right? What does that look like even? And we'll get into that in a few weeks down the road. But could we start to pull apart this word anxious? Could we start, the four of you, to just kind of, the last few times you felt anxious, what else was going on? Could it have been I was just, and even if you come up with one or two, that's going to be huge, right? I would just like us to, as a group, to see if we can find some other words that take this lump. How do you deal with a lump? How do you deal with a lump? Right? One of my mentors way back in the day said, when you're faced with an overwhelming task that you can't make heads or tails of, she looked at me, she had five kids. She goes, Karen, you start with the towels. It's like when you do the laundry, You don't start with the socks. There's too many. There's socks, there's underwear, there's t-shirts, there's all that shit in there. It's like, it's too much. So you just get the big things out first, get the towels, fold those up, and then what's left is more manageable. It's a little more manageable, right? So let's look at this. We're going to tease out let's just come up with a few other words for anxiety besides this lump. Sound like doable? Yeah? Okay. So I'm going to put us into four rooms. Three, four. You're being assigned randomly. So there's no rhyme or reason. And for those of you who have not done this before, Louise, don't be scared. Here's what's going to happen. The screen's going to go blank for a bit. It's because you're being sent into the ether worlds. And then, depending on your device, it's going to ask you to click something to take you into your virtual room with your three other friends. And then you'll be there together. And then at some point you'll be sent a little message that says you just have a minute left. At which point, if you do nothing, it'll bring you back to me. Or if you want to, you can click a button and it'll bring you back to me right away. Okay. So it's safe. It's a little unnerving. It's going to feel like, where am I? But Zoom has been doing this for a year now and they're really good at it. So I'm going to click open rooms, which means you're all going to be sent to meet somebody new. Okay. Here we go. Ready, set. Bye everyone. Okay. Okay, so Evan, you're in group. No, I'm going to, when you log in, I'm going to add you to
joining
one.
Joining your meeting. Here we go.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
Karen. Oh, Marcia was having difficulty with audio and I didn't know, is Evan available? Or he's not there?
He's here. Yes. He'll come in a moment. What was it? It just wasn't able to get the, we couldn't hear you.
She could hear us. I think we could not hear her.
Oh, okay. So in the future, Marcia, generally when that happens, what we have to do is exit Zoom. You exit Zoom completely.
That's
and then
what
come
I've
back
done.
In and mm-hmm. somehow that magically fixes it. But in a situation like this, you could always try the chat. People will use the chat and just talk using the chat. Do you see the chat button underneath there? Okay. All right. So yes. And Evan is here. We can, next time when you come on a little early, let's check your mic before we start. How's that sound? Okay. Great. Yes. Okay. All right. Let me get back into gallery view. I want to see everybody. All right. I now have to just commend all of you because I know there are many introverts in this group and that was a very, very not fun thing to do. So I want to just thank you and applaud you because I didn't acknowledge that ahead of time. But as soon as I sent you off, there's several of you who I know that was like not at all what you wanted. And so I apologize in advance. And I hope that what you found though was that you're not alone. Right? And it's like, I mean, this is a part of the human experience. We are not raised or taught how to live without these experiences, these sensations, these feelings, these emotions. We're not taught to. We're actually taught ways of being that almost breed it, right? And so you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. And we're going to get through this and you're going to get through it. You can do this. You can do this. You can do this. And so, what I would love is to, if each group would be willing to maybe just share with us, I'm going to choose maybe the non-introvert in the group. So, although that's not fair because I'm looking at the first group. And so, Gina, would you be, I know you're an introvert, but would you be willing to share what your group came up with?
Sure. We came up with a couple of different things. One is that we want to be able to feel in control. And one is I feel insecurity. Yeah. I feel a lot of insecurity around making a decision. Is, am I right? Am I wrong? Am I going to be criticized? So I guess insecurity and not wanting to be criticized. But can I just share something? And I didn't share this in the group. And I've wanted to share this with you for a really long time. I don't know who's in the whole group. And I'm going to try to make this quick. So about 3 weeks ago, my two grandsons were coming to visit. They were staying overnight for 2 nights. And I was trying to get ready, but I was really tired. And I wasn't doing as much as I felt I needed to do. And so I was trying to say, the important thing is to be present. The important thing is to show up for your life. The important thing is to be aware and enjoy what you're doing and just, you know, be present in the moment. But this thought came up from nowhere, like someone standing behind me and I'm going, I just need to be present in the moment. This thought said to me, I do not want to be present in my life. It was just, I was just like, I'm like going, where? This is what I'm working for. This is what I want. And at first I got into an argument and I felt very schizophrenic. Talking to myself saying, no, you can't feel that way. And then I thought, okay, this is a thought I've had and I just have to sit with it and be with it.
And then what happened when you sat with it and you beed with it?
I'm beed with it. I'm still being with it. I'm still being with it. And I believe that it probably is the underlying issue between a lot of habits that I have. The habits of not showing up because I really don't want to be present. And so it's kind of leading me towards some of those habits that I thought, and some of them I thought were good things. Wow. But it's the intention, I guess, behind them.
Gina, thank you so much for being so, so real. Oh, it's just that, I mean, that really, if we weren't, we have 15 minutes, but I just really want to take, guys, when this moment happens, when that voice comes up, there's only one thing to do, and it's to show up and hear it and sit down and literally just put your hands, like a mic's all over me, I can't, put your hands on your heart and just go, oh, oh. I hear you. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Oh, of course you don't want to be present. Of course you don't want to be present. I'm tearing up because you, mm-hmm. when we touch these tender, tender places inside us, they are so used to us running away and shutting them down. And here's the technical term. Abandoning. Mm. Abandoning ourselves. That's what we do. But we have to live our life. I had 12 other things I wanted to cover. Not really. But you know, it's like I could go into, whoa, this is what we need to cover. Thank you, Gina, for sharing. But no, we stop. I have literally in the middle of my day a thought. It's so sacred. When that thought comes up, you sit your butt down. I have sat in the middle of the floor and just gone, whoa, and put your hands on your heart and show up for it. Even if it's just 2 minutes, you can give it. Show up for it. It's begging. Begging for your attention. And that's a technical term. It is begging for your attention. So we show up, and this is what we'll be learning. To just sit, feel it. You don't even have to understand it. You don't have to analyze it. It will reveal itself. It wants to reveal itself. It wants you to know. So all Gina needed to do was what she did. She just beed with it. She is being with it.
Still being with it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we don't have to analyze it. We don't have to sit down and go, why? Believe me. Trust me. It will reveal itself to you. It will reveal it. You just be. Show up. Oh, I see you. And magic words. Of course you feel that way. Now you may not even know why consciously. You may not even know why consciously, right? But you say to that part of you, you say, of course you feel that way. And at some point, it will tell you why. It will reveal why it feels that way. This is sacred work. This is sacred, sacred work. And thank you, Gina. I wasn't going to say that word today. But ultimately, that's what this is what we're doing. It's sacred. It's tender. And we're learning a new skill. It's called showing up with kindness and compassion for yourself, for myself, for ourself. And here's the truth. And this is back to unpleasant truth. Now every unpleasant truth has a pleasant that goes with it. The unpleasant truth is you think you're showing up for other people's challenges, unpleasantness, suffering with compassion and kindness. But you cannot, it is physically, emotionally, spiritually, or maybe I should say spiritually impossible to show up with compassion and kindness for another person until you know how to do it for yourself. And so everything we've been taught, that it's selfish to take care of ourselves, that we shouldn't, that we should suck it up, that we should, it was just, it's people didn't know. They didn't know that you can't give what you don't have. And so when you see people being harsh with somebody, it's because they're harsh with themselves. When you see people, you know, that's what they're doing with themselves. So what we learn, our job through this course and on, is to learn how to show up with such, did you hear Gina's voice? The tenderness, the gentleness. I'm being with it. I'm just being with it. That's how our self is going to trust us. And when it trusts us, it will, believe me, it wants to let go of all that shit. It really does. I'm looking around to see if Sam's in the room. I didn't earlier. I my mouth took over.
It's okay.
Oh, he's heard it before.
We just have words that we don't use in front of other people. He knows. He knows all those words. It's
okay. Good. He lives in a real home. So it is. It wants to come out, folks. It really does. It doesn't want to be in there. Your natural being is longing to be free of this. It wants to be happy. It wants to be pain-free. That's what it wants. And what my goal is that through these 8 weeks, we can help you trust that, to trust it so that you can little by little allow it to unfold. Right now, all of us, we're like this. If I, like Gina said, if I'm not in control, I have to hold on tight, otherwise I'm going to hurt. I'm going to have to hold on tight or something. That's going to happen, right? And it's... So, Gina, thank you. Thank you. That was the best part of the morning. Thank you. So, we got a few minutes. Is anybody, can we just quickly go through the other groups? Unless there's a moment, we're going to show up for it, right? Brenda, how about in your group? Was it your group? Brenda, Ramon, either one of you. Yeah.
We were a little unclear what you wanted us to talk about, but we did introduce ourselves and we chatted about our intentions, which really were kind of all over the place. But one central theme, I think, was just to be, more present. You know, more calm in the moments. It's kind of what I heard from just about everybody. Ramon had some very specific things. Ramon, do you want to share?
Yeah, it was more, I think present, but I think I meant it more in the sense of being able to get that whenever I wanted it, not just like be present all the time. That's also a goal, but more, if I'm feeling I'm going into a situation, I want to be able to say, you need to be present now, and I want to be able to hone into that at that particular time. The other ones were feeling in control, being accepted, and then, you know, meeting expectations of others. That's what we define anxiety as. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Brenda.
Okay, Ramon, those were, okay, wait. So the wanting to feel accepted was one. Mm-hmm. Wanting to be in control, which was what Gina said. What were the other ones, Ramon?
Meeting expectations of others, which is the same as being accepted, I guess.
Well, no, it's different, actually. I think there's a distinction there. Yeah. Meeting others' expectations. Yeah. Was there one more?
No, I think it was the present one, but more like being able to recall it whenever you need it, not just...
Ah, okay. Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Mm-hmm. In our group three, April, what did you folks have a...
We were kind of unclear exactly what to do, but, we, what was really clear in our group was how visual the feeling of, or the sensation of what we came here for was very visual. Like we had, darkness to get out of this weight of darkness and into light. And then we had, you know, feeling like you're just, your, feathers are just torn apart and so ruffled that you can't take off and fly. No matter what you do, you can't get there. And being gobbled up, like your light, if you let your light shine, you'll be gobbled up by the world. So it was very, very visual, very, like I felt all of these descriptions of what anxiety is for each one of us in a very physical way. Like it was, there was a lot of imagery there, which was great for me. And then we kind of went into, you know, kind of what that means of, I love how Lisa, put it so beautifully of, and Lisa, you'll have better words than I can sum up, but it was like realizing how much of that, the anxiety, what that means when you break it up, it's the expectation on us to be in control of other people's lives, or the expectation maybe we put on ourselves, or that the society puts on us, that, that other people, what happens to the people in our lives is up to us, and the weight that that brings. So.
Well, for somebody who wasn't quite clear, that was a really great, great contribution. I think that was beautifully effective. Wow. So I was about to say, that was me. I didn't make it clear enough, but whatever I said left plenty of room for that magic of your group to put it in those terms, which is very powerful. So let's hear, Agnieszka, do you want to share from your group? You're muted, sweetheart. Yeah.
In our group, what came up was that an anxiety is a very physical sensation. Am I saying it right? Please correct me if I there. It's not so much in your mind as it shows up in the body. And also, Natalie started saying, and I'm sorry, we didn't have a chance to finish, about different levels of anxiety. Like there could be just, there could be a depression, anxiety, and what was the...
Irritability, things like that. Yeah. And I would actually say what was the coolest thing for me that came out of the conversation was Mishka actually said, you know, English is her second language. And so she looked it up. And anxiety, like, you know, in Polish doesn't have this heavy weight that it has in ours. And actually anxiety in the dictionary is technically, you know, a little uncertain or nervousness or restlessness. Like it's a really light word, actually. It doesn't mean that much. And now it means depression, panic attack, irritability, anxiety, agoraphobia, all of these things, but the actual word. And so that was actually the most interesting part of our conversation, realizing, you know, in that translation between the languages, it really, we've given it a lot of meaning. It's very different.
Fascinating.
Well, Fascinating. I was going to say, I have a teen who is identifying as having anxiety, and, it's become sort of like, I do think it's become kind of a catch-all, you know, and for youth that are looking to figure out who they are, it's just another thing to say, and I have this, you know, and possibly, you know, for some people, for some kids, it's even a way to sort of get that attention because it's got such a big thing attached to it right now. So it is fascinating that we put so much weight into it.
Well, and I think actually we can talk more about this, but what we did with this is what we wanted to do was to recognize that it's lumped. Mm-hmm. It's lumped a bunch of things into this word and we can't deal with the lump. So look at what just in this, in 10 minutes, look what you discovered. There's layers. There's a spectrum, right? So we're going to leave it here for today. What I do, I want to show you one more thing before I'm going to just share my screen with this, because we're talking about pleasant. Which one came? Can you see this one? Mm-hmm. Do you guys, does it say personal tone tracker?
Yes.
You don't have to do anything I tell you in this class, but I'm going to encourage you to do this, which is to just each day at the end of your day, you know, or, you know, if you miss a day, just remember back. Was the tone of your day, the overall tone, pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? And just mark it. One, unpleasant, two. So it's like unpleasant, neutral, pleasant. And we'll just track those for the 8 weeks of this course.
Do you mean our tone or how we felt about the day?
What's the difference? Your tone. How you felt during the day. Did you spend most of your day living in unpleasant?
Okay.
Did you spend most of your day neutral, or was there portions of your day that were actually pleasant? You enjoyed them, right? Because we're going to start to train ourselves into these three categories. Let's put it that way. And here, so it just goes through the 8 weeks of our class. Okay.
Sure.
And it's on your course page, so you can download it. Yeah.
Because you had three lines there, 3, 2, 1. Do we feel each one, or we just?
Now, let me see if my thing, so it would be like, I would put it, do you see where this is? I would put if my day was shitty, I'd put an X right there.
Okay.
And then the next day, right, my day was neutral, I'd put an X there.
Okay,
so each day has just one.
Okay, thank you.
See, you guys are going to make me a better teacher. It's just like, you know, those linear places are difficult for this brain of mine. So, and it's optional. I mean, but it's revelatory. Because as we move on down, we're going to start to work with the habits of our thoughts that we're not aware of that are running us. And so if we can start to even just pay attention like this, this is what happens. The more your mind is paid attention to, though, your thoughts, all these other things, the more they reveal to you. Right? So with that, that's all I wanted to cover today. We covered everything I wanted to cover. I'm just delighted. And we will, Monday night, we will take up some practices that you can do. They're easy, and there's a range of them. So you'll be able to find one that works for you, I'm sure. But there are little things you can do during the day just to begin to bring some balance between the hemispheres of your brain, balance between the energy and your body, and just start to maybe feel a little more strong, a little more confident. Okay, one more question, Brenda.
Quick question. So technical stuff for the Monday nights, it has two times.
Yes.
Do we have to like commit to one, or can, no. if we can we flip back and forth?
You can flip back and forth. And okay. I tell you what, anybody comes to the earlier one's going to be a smaller group, right? And those are free-for-alls. I mean, we'll record them, but we're only going to record, I don't know that we'll put both up, now that I think about it. So one week we might record the 4, next week the 7, so, you know, but it's mainly for you to get the practices is why it's being recorded. Mm-hmm. But if there are questions and things like that, you know, the 4 o'clock will probably have fewer people. So is that good?
Can I just ask one quick question, technical yes. question? As yes. I didn't get the link. I had to just go back to my order to this. And so I don't know about the course page. So I don't.
You didn't get my email I sent out last night?
Nope.
Uh-oh. Who got the email last night that gave the course page? Okay, that's who did not get it? Julie, you didn't get it? Judy, you're not sure? April didn't? Lisa, you didn't? Okay, I know you were on there because I sent it up. And Julie, I sent it to your julie.jura@gmail, right?
Okay. Yeah, I just haven't looked, so I'm not sure if it's there.
Okay, take a look. Take a look because it had the link to the course page. It had, yeah.
So, yeah, I looked this morning and I looked everywhere and I couldn't find it. So I don't know.
Okay. I will resend.
Okay.
Here's what we'll do. I really, you know, I don't like going over, and we've gone over. So if you need to go, please go, and I will stay in if there are other questions. But what I should have done is shown you the course page so you could have seen it, but I didn't think to cue that up. But on that page, we're going to need a couple days to get the videos up for you because Darcy, who does it, she's away at a memorial. She's traveling for a memorial service. So, but we'll try to get them up within 48 hours is our goal. And so, and when it does go up, she will send everybody an email so that you know the recordings and all the handouts and everything is posted. Okay?
Okay.
All right, beautifuls. Okay. You're going to leave with this thought. You can do this. You can do this. You can do this. You're going to get to chapter 5. You're going to just walk down a new road. All right. All right. Bye, everybody. I'll see you hopefully Monday night. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.